Well, Merry Christmas. It's a blessing to see you all tonight, and of course, everybody that's on Facebook watching the service too. I pray it all technology is dependable on us again, and you can be part of this Christmas Eve service. Quite a remarkable year. Well, in the busyness of it all, I guess we'll play it at the end. It's just on our Facebook page. Sorry about that. You'll see it at the end, God willing. Maybe that's just the will of the Lord. Hey, this evening, I want to just share with you a little bit about hope. You know, this Christmas joy drive, maybe you came to the building, you're here with us, you saw what we put on the building. You know, we put the words on the fourth floor, there is hope. And no doubt many churches around this world right now during this Christmas Eve time are talking about hope because of the year we've all experienced. And the Bible, Christmas, reminds us where there is true hope, and true hope is found. I read an article recently. In fact, it was today I read it. I think it was posted yesterday on Fox News, but it's by Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie is a pastor that was part of Calvary Chapel at the very beginning, and we're a family of churches. This church is part of Calvary Chapel. But Greg Laurie wrote an article, and the article is titled, "This Christmas, in a Year Full of Despair, We Need to Hold Fast to This Truth." And this is what he says. I'll just read it to you because it makes the point of 2020. As we approach the end of 2020, our nation's mental health is the worst it's been in decades. That's not my opinion. It's the findings of a recent report from Gallup, which has asked Americans about the state of their mental health since 2001. This year, nearly one-fourth of Americans rated their mental health as fair or poor, the most significant decline in our country's psychological well-being on record. Sad truth is these findings won't surprise anyone who has lived through 2020. A global pandemic, social unrest, an economic turndown, a polarizing election, you name it. This year has thrown us a litany of challenges that would burden anyone's mental well-being. Even as we hear news that a vaccine for coronavirus is now available, a veritable Christmas miracle, it may take months before it reaches the average person. Doctors have warned we still face a very dark winter ahead, leading one commentary to pronounce on national news, Christmas is probably not going to be possible this year. If you ask me, this is what Greg Laurie says, if you ask me, it seems all America wants, what it wants for Christmas is some hope. The good news is Christmas was meant to be celebrated exactly in the kind of hopeless moment we are living through. I just quoted to you Greg Laurie and what he says. He goes on in the article to talk about the Roman world, the Jewish challenges that they had at the nation of Israel and the world that they were in at the time. Very challenging, certainly difficult days and dark days. But in the midst of that darkness came this great light into the world. And it's for that reason why we decided to decorate our parking lot with, I estimate on Sunday and Monday night, if you came through, there was at least 40,000 Christmas lights. And all the lights in the church windows, and then there on the fourth floor for everybody on River Street and this area of Fitchburg could see the words, there is hope on our building, because there is true hope. What is hope? What exactly is hope? Wikipedia gives this definition for hope. Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. As a verb, its definition include expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. So an optimistic state of mind that you hope these positive things are going to happen in your world or in your personal life. And you can read about the psychology then of hope and the medical field views of how to address that and what to do with it. But I think if you just define hope as an optimistic state of mind regarding what you're hoping is going to happen in that sort of way, if that's the case, we know what it is in this human world to have hope that fails and to have hope that disappoints. I'm sure there are a lot of people at the beginning of this year had certain hopes for this year, and what they found was something far, far different. They had an optimistic state of mind about, well, this is what I will do this year. I'm going to graduate, then do this next, or whatever it might be. And then they came to this year, it was so different than what they expected. And maybe for many in 2020, there was disappointment. Their optimistic attitude didn't pull through. The Bible gives us a different definition. The Christmas story gives us a different understanding of what hope is. And the measurement of what hope is, the definition of hope, this is what the Bible says is hope. The confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in its faithfulness. Hope according to the Bible, that's not a direct quote of the Bible, but that is putting the different truths together. Hope according to the Bible is this confident expectation of what God has promised. And then he has the strength to fulfill it. He's faithful to what he says. And for that, then there is true hope. That's why we have the words we do on the building, there is hope, because God has promised and God will be faithful to accomplish what he has promised. You know the word hope in English? Often the word even conveys doubt when we use it as Americans. We say things like, you know, I hope it won't rain tomorrow. I hope it won't, but you're even expressing doubt that I hope it doesn't. Or you may also use the word so after you say hope, right? You might ask somebody, are you going to heaven? And they would say, well, I hope so. And that very statement does convey doubt. And that's often the way it is in our human language, English language. But the Bible, when you use the word hope, there is no indication of doubt. The Old Testament word for hope that's often translated hope is the word betah. I think is how you, Hebrew word is betah. And the words that originate from it, they have this confidence, this security that you then have, and you're without care because you have hope. You know, just trust. The concept of doubt is not there at all. There's no doubt. David in Psalm chapter 16, verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. So David, speaking of a hope that he rests in, he's so sure. He's secure. He rests. And the New Testament, the Greek word for that's translated hope in the New Testament, the different words, in most instances, it's the word ellipsis or elpizo. And I think that's how you pronounce those Greek words. But they also have that, there's no doubt in the word. When you say hope, just about every time in the New Testament, there's no doubt. There's this confidence, expectations, there's a sureness, there's a sure foundation, what I'm waiting for. I have this peace, I have this joy, because I know that God will be faithful. I have this hope. So the word, there's no doubt in the Bible when it says hope, there's no doubt about it. And that's the biblical sense of hope, and it's not just a feeling. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, speaking of faith, has that sense of confidence. It's not so much feeling. It's just a sure hope. We have the words on our building as you drive up. We're going to show a video, God willing, at the end of the service. I got a thumbs up back there. And you'll see the building if you haven't seen it before, or you can go to our Facebook. But there is hope. There is hope. Christmas Eve 2020. I want to give you from the narrative of the Christmas story, chapters 1 and 2 of Matthew, chapters 1 and 2 of Luke. I'm not going to read them. I'm going to just give you 7 examples just to remind you, even in the Christmas story, there is hope over and over. It's this heart of hope, true hope. 7 examples of hope in the Christmas narrative this Christmas Eve. First, I start with this poor young Jewish couple, Mary and Joseph, engaged. We know the story so well. Under difficult Roman rule as Jewish people, they also find themselves in a most unusual, a socially very uncomfortable position because she's unexpectedly with child. We discussed this year after year, what that would mean for her and for him. Very difficult. Even part of the narrative, right? Joseph thinking that he would even, you know, in a very gracious way, end the relationship because she's with child. And they have that, and a wondrous thing that God has done, but at the same time, what that would mean for them, then you got this edict, this government edict, and now they have to travel, and the men were watching on Wednesday morning video to give the depiction of to travel from Galilee to Jerusalem. That would be very difficult. This woman late in her pregnancy, as we have discussed, not traveling by airplane or train or car, but the old way on foot or with some other animal. And then they get to Bethlehem, as we know, and they get there. There's no room in the end, as we just sung. And so this poor Jewish couple in a barn or in a cave, whatever it is, animal manger, they place their baby boy in an animal manger. And, you know, with that's not an easy life. I think of this Christmas Eve for my family. I think many of us, because of Facebook, know. But my daughter-in-law gave birth to a child this morning, little Sophia, on Christmas Eve. And what is striking to my family about that is, in 1998, my daughter Kena, who was up on stage here a moment ago, she was born on Christmas. And we've only got three children, and now one daughter-in-law, one grandchild, and two birthdays, Christmas Eve and Christmas. And so this time of year, I've been here twice, thinking about somebody giving birth, and here considering Mary. It's happened twice. I've gotten in trouble, too, one Christmas Eve when my wife was in labor, what I said, so I won't say anything. It'll get me in trouble. But, you know, I consider these two families, my family, my son's family, little newborn babies, placing them in some animal manger, you know. Right now, son and daughter-in-law, hospital, right? You know, all the concerns about the health of the child and having all that. Well, that's not the case. And you know this very well. Couldn't imagine having one of our children or grandchild in that sort of situation. But I just know the hope that is in the narrative. It is Mary. The angel has spoken to her. God has spoken to her before even that, now pregnant, or the promise of becoming pregnant. And it's actually, she's early in her pregnancy. This is just a few of the words that she says of praise. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And then she says it this way, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." I just take those words. The hope of this young, very young couple, this woman, all that would go on with that, we consider it this time of year. But she would say during her pregnancy, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." Certainly you would say that's an example of hope. These two people with great hope, God's word, what God is doing. God did great things for them. I believe Christmas 2020, God can do great things for you. God can do great things for me. We go into a new year with uncertainty. I have hope because of God and who he is and what he's promised and what he wants, whatever he wants to do in my life. Our second example, there's seven examples, is the group of government counselors, you know, in a foreign land to a foreign king. We call them wise men. Who in a place far away from the land of Israel, they are foreigners, they see this star of the Christ child. They travel such a long and hard way to come and see him. Just imagine the caravan coming in Jerusalem, all dusty, tired. You know, they've traveled hard roads to get there. And they come in, as we know, asking, inquiring around the city about this great king born of the Jews, wanting to see him. But not just that, just the hope that is stated there in this way. That is, as they tell this paranoid Roman King Herod, they tell him this, "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." They say, "We've come to worship him." They travel that far. That's just right there a great message of hope, that they would come that far, believing who this little one who was born, that they want to come and they want to worship him. 2020, Christmas Eve, we've gone through the year we have. We look out to the new year, but I ask you this question: what do you worship? And what does it do as far as, does it bring hope into your life? Or does it bring disappointment? Because whatever you're hoping in, I'm hoping that the Red Sox get going again and they win a World Series. I hope that Tom Brady comes back to the Patriots, or I hope whatever, my 401k or this or that. And is it a hope that will disappoint? These men come far, foreigners. They come that far to worship this baby. They understand the discerned. And I ask you, what do you worship? What does it do for your hope? Our next example, next two examples, three and four, are this very old couple in the Christmas narrative. They too find themselves with a child, unexpectedly, very old, well past the age of having a child. But Zacharias and Elizabeth are suddenly with child. The older woman, Elizabeth, just her hope. Now with child, after it seemed her womb was closed, to the possibility of having a baby, she would then be visited by Mary, who was early in her pregnancy, and you know the words, I'm sure, remember what she would say to Mary. Blessed. She said, blessed, that's the word happy. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. And those are certainly words of hope, aren't they? When you can say, happy are you who believed what God has said to you and what God is going to do. And the same is true this Christmas 2020. Blessedness, happy in that sense of joy and hope. To those that believe, to those that put their trust in what the little baby there in the manger, what he would then do as he grew, what he came, what his mission was, as he then would go to a cross, as we showed in our joy drive, he would give his life as a savior of the world, die for our sin. You have Elizabeth, and you have even her husband, Zacharias, this priest, and you may know all the story. But this old, very old father, now in prophecy, you know, his child, John the Baptist, is born, but then he prophesies about the Messiah. And so it's part of the Christmas narrative because it leads right into then to Jesus, the story of Jesus too. And Jesus is already being formed in the womb of Mary. But he would say this, how God would deliver. God had sent a deliverer to the Jews, this little baby that would come, the Messiah, Jesus. And he says this in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 to 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He says in such hope and faith, through the tender mercy of our God. How often do you use a phrase like that regarding your future? Through the tender mercy of our God. The day springs, another title, descriptive title for the Jesus, the day spring, God himself has visited us and there's light in the darkness, even in the shadow of death, he says. So an old couple right there, there is hope in the narrative. There's examples 3 and 4. Zacharias saying there, even in the shadow of death, a great light has come into the world. And that's why we decorated our parking lot this particular year. I don't know if we'll ever do it again. I was thinking it was one and done. It was so much work. But then people were like, we should do this again next year. And I'm like, good, do it. I'm going to sit home and drink hot chocolate, you know. That's a lot of work, man. But at the same time, we did it because this year there is a lot of people looking for hope. And we could just put a bunch of lights out to speak of the light of the Son of God coming into the world at this time of year. And we put the words, there is hope. There is hope across our building. Fifth example, the shepherds watching their sheep in the fields the one night. Interesting, the men on Wednesday morning, we watched a little video from a man named Erez Soref. Erez Soref, he's with the organization One for Israel. Jewish man, Messianic Jew in Israel, Erez Soref. He gave background I'd never heard, and we watched it on Wednesday morning, but about the shepherds. He said those shepherds were specific shepherds that the angel appeared to because of Micah chapter 5 verse 2, what's described of the area there of Bethlehem. We talked about it on Sunday morning. But he said that area, as they've done archaeological digs, and there's a clear understanding, those shepherds in that area were the shepherds who actually took care of the lambs who are being raised for temple sacrifice. And interesting, he said this too. Of course, the lambs that were prepared for the temple sacrifice, you know, they had to be without blemish. They were treated very gently and delicately and examined. He said this, that when they were getting prepared for travel, you know, they're going to send this little lamb to the temple or transport it to the temple. They would take the little lamb and wrap it in swaddling clothes. Kind of like packaging, Amazon packaging back in the day. And they would lay it temporarily in a manger. In the swaddling clothes as they got it ready and got all the details ready to then begin to get it ready to ship or send, however they did, to the temple for sacrifice. Isn't that fascinating? This man standing on location saying that's the history of what those shepherds did in that area. Imagine them out there that night and these angels appeared to them, right, in the choir and all that, and they learned that the Lamb of God, the Savior, that's what they're told, the Lamb of God has come. The fulfillment of all that, to come to take away the sins of the world. And I would imagine their day job after that had a whole new way to it, right? Whole nother perspective as they did what they did, considering what had been going on in Israel for centuries, and now this one has come, the Lamb of God. But certainly much more meaning to their life. And I think this 2020, you know, people looking for hope, the Christmas narrative and what we read, even the story of the shepherds, remind us that there is hope. Hope for your daily activity. Hope for what you do. Hope for meaning of in your life. Hope for any laborer or any worker this Christmas Eve. The sixth example is this very old man, Simeon. We're told in Luke he was awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the guys on Wednesday morning, you know, one man pointed out, consolation of Israel, that's another descriptive title of Jesus. And that was a common name for the era of the Messiah. The era of the Messiah was understood as the consolation of Israel. The Jews understood from their prophets that the arrival, the arrival of the Messiah would bring consolation, would bring comfort to his people. And as we discussed that on Wednesday morning, this man who is waiting in faith for the consolation of Israel, believing that God had showed him he would see the Messiah before he died. And one individual, one of the men, read Isaiah 40 correctly, because Isaiah 40 is one of the promises that the Jews, you know, centuries before Isaiah said this, and they understood this, and the coming of the Messiah, he would bring consolation, he would bring comfort to his people. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So comfort, comfort your people. Prepare the road, because the Messiah is coming. The consolation, this time of the Messiah. Of course, he came first to deal with the great problem, our sin, and he's coming again to establish his kingdom. But for the Jews, they swore by the consolation of Israel. They would even have the phrase, the understanding, may I see the consolation of Israel. That was common among them. Daily, they would lift up a prayer, you know, that they would see the promised Messiah. And here's Simeon with his hope in his heart to see the consolation of Israel, the comfort, and being able to look upon this little baby, the little Jesus, and then seeing this is the comfort of our nation. The Messiah has come. There's hope for you right there. There's example number six, right, of a hope right there in the Christmas narrative, that God has sent comfort. God has sent consolation. Sure, 2020, a lot of broken hearts, a lot of hurting people, a lot of broken lives, broken families. That's just the way the world has been. But there is one. We come to Christmas Eve 2020, we're reminded of the consolation, the comfort of God has come. God has entered this world. Little Jesus. And he'd grow to be a man, the Messiah, God among us, God with us. Our final example is a very old widow in the Christmas narrative named Anna, a worshiper of God. Been a widow a long, long time, fasting and praying, the way it's described. She prayed and fasted night and day, it's the way it's described. Such a God-loving woman. She comes in the instant Simeon, this old man, looks upon, you know, the little Jesus, the little Messiah, and takes him into his arms. And then says what he does. She comes in at that very moment, we're told. And she also, just the hope, she breaks into thanksgiving. And then she goes. It says she told others. Anybody that was looking for the redemption of Israel, she went out and told them, the Christ child, the Messiah, the little, he's here, he's been born. Speaking of the redemption of Israel, the redemption, we know the word redemption, many of us in the church, right? How God sent his son to redeem us. We were lost. We're sinners. We can't fix the problem. We needed a redeemer, someone to come pay the price to redeem us, our redemption. And she, looking upon this, began to the redemption of Israel, the price being paid to bring us back to that right relationship with God. And she would tell everyone about it. There's hope right there. Seven examples. You just read through the Christmas story as you know it so well. Hope, there is hope. People, there's hope. There's no doubt. in their hope so sort of. This is hope in the Bible, the true hope. Yeah, you come in this evening if you did, or you'll see in the video in a moment. Have the words, there is hope, as to reminding people driving on River Street in downtown Fitchburg. We end 2020, we start 2021. Whatever 2021 holds, there is yet true hope. And it's a hope that will not disappoint. Interesting that Greg Laurie article I started with on Fox News, he goes through, talks about different things, talks about the Gallup poll at the beginning. One in four Americans right now don't rate their mental health very good. One in four say their mental health is at best fair or it's poor. One in four Americans, evidently you meet, are struggling in their mind and their spirit right now in that way. But then he ends the article with this. Maybe you read it. He says, the Gallup poll I mentioned earlier found that the only group that didn't report a negative change in their mental health were people who attended church regularly. He says that was the only group in the Gallup poll of people that are like, we're good, man, we're good. No problem. Because we have hope. And it's beyond pandemics and whatever's going on in America, up or down, left or right. We've got hope. Christmas Eve, we've got hope. He said this then, Greg Laurie, this is his concluding line in the, I think it says it well. He says this, hope has a name. And it's Jesus Christ. Hope does have a name, and it's Jesus Christ. You'll see in the Joy Drive video here in a moment, people drive out. We say that Jesus is our hope, and we reminded them. Maybe today you're watching. Maybe you're here today and you need hope. We want to remind you there is hope. It's not this hope so uncertain, optimistic attitude. Yes, 2021 will be better. Vaccine's going to work out. I'll get my whatever going again. No. You know what? You might yet be disappointed again. There's hope in the Christmas. We turn these pages in Matthew and Luke and we see 7 different examples of hope. And the hope in difficult situations, uncertain situations of the world around them, there's hope because of a little boy that was born. A little baby, the Christ child, we call him, Jesus, the Messiah. He came, God Emmanuel with us. He came, God entered human history and became a man. And he walked this world, in this world with man. And then as a man, somewhere around in his 30s, he'd minister in powerful ways, preach and teach in powerful ways. And then one day, many people would come against him and he'd be put on a cross and crucified. And as we understood, and as we depicted in the Joy Drive, that's what God was doing. This is the hope, ultimately God. And then he would resurrect. And such hope. And now there's heaven for anybody that would put their trust in Jesus. Today, maybe it's your day. Maybe this Christmas Eve. Maybe it's your birthday, spiritual birthday. I want to conclude with a word of prayer. And then we're going to watch the video. And this is then what we're going to do. Because the service order changed a little. We've got candles up here. This is not a permanent thing. We're going to watch the video and then we're going to have a short time of Christmas carol and worship at the end, okay? Because this is what our tradition is. And we tend to be a church of low tradition. You know, we don't have a lot of tradition. We're simple, and that's our intention. But I, you know, discovered in this area that Christmas Eve service is important to this culture here. And often it's true. It's beautiful. And we've done it here on Christmas Eve. We have a little candlelight service at the end of our service, and we sing Christmas carols together. We were thinking that's probably not very COVID, us lighting each other's candles, getting each other's face to do it. It's probably not a good idea to do. But instead tonight, what we were going to do, and it's a reminder of the year we were in, but also a reminder of the light of Christ. We're going to just light the candles up here as just a reminder. Why not? A tradition that there is light that's come into the world, in this dark world, and it's the light of Jesus Christ. And we'll sing our Christmas carols, so we're going to light those candles. But before we do, we'll watch the video, and before that, I'm going to say a prayer. Maybe you're listening, and today is a day God has got the attention of your heart, and you're watching or here, and you're like, I want hope. And in your heart, there's a longing. You want God, and you get right with Him right now. You can give him your heart. The Bible declares this: for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Blessed is he who believes indeed. You can put your trust right now in Jesus, that he came to save you as your Savior, save you from your sin. The wages of sin is death. He came to die for your sin as the Lamb of God, so that God could forgive you of your sin. And that Paul tells us in Romans, if you call on the Lord, you will be saved, because it's a gift that you can ask for. You can give God your heart. Say, I want you, Lord, in my life. I want the forgiveness that you have provided for me. I want to walk with God. And when you do that, you will have hope, a true hope that will not disappoint. I'm going to say a prayer. Maybe you want to use this prayer right now. Make this your spiritual birthday, Christmas Eve. You can repeat this prayer to God. Dear Heavenly Father, I do confess that I am a sinner, and I do need forgiveness of all my sins. And Father, I do believe that you sent your Son Jesus to this world, and he became a man. And one day he would die on a cross. There he'd pay the penalty for my sin. Then he raised to life so I could have life. So this day, Heavenly Father, I do ask that you would forgive me of all my sins. I do believe. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. I choose to follow you the rest of my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for saving me. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If that is you, somewhere at home, here in this place, we'd love to just connect with you and encourage you. You can call our church, 978-665-9111, or you can talk to me after this service. I'd like to encourage you. You prayed with me. God has heard you. He's heard your heart. As you talk to him, he's heard you. He knows your faith and your calling to him, and he's forgiven you of your sin because you've trusted in what he's done. You're now reconciled to God. That's the redemption there, and he's working in your life. You want to read your Bible? If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. Call us. You want to read the Bible and pray and begin to grow in a walk with him. But we'd love to know. Let us know that you're beginning your journey with God. Let's watch this Christmas Joy Drive video, and then we'll conclude with worship, and we'll have the candles lit. We won't do them ourselves, as we have in the past, but it'll remind us of this year, but it'll remind us of the light that has come into the world too. Just a reminder as we go. Merry Christmas to you.